Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios on a bench. I'm Pharrell with Mafia and Carver High. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Don't forget to get all my plays in the NBA, conference finals, the NHL, I believe on Sunday. You got a game five in San Jose. And then, baseball, Saturday and Sunday. You got the Wilder fight. You got UFC fight night. All that happening. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com for my snags. You're going to love it. Buck a day, son. Anyway, I was looking at the this story. I actually clicked it open to read about the neighborhood where Pimlico is. And they're talking about it's down there on, you know, Park Ave or Park Heights and where it is and West Belvedere, that it's like this. They've had it, the Preakness there, since 1873. So now you see that it's in despair. It's just you see the stench of cigarette smoke, the smell of liquor, and other smells in the air that aren't pleasant, let's just say. This Canadian group owns the Pimlico, and they said that to fix it, it would, literally to, revitalize Pimlico and keep the Preakness, it would cost $400 million to rebuild the track. And then the guy that's the COO of the company, this Canadian-based company, said that it's the end of its life. It's no longer safe. It's not a viable site for the Preakness. Meanwhile, they're having it there tomorrow. It's not safe. glad to hear that. Doesn't sound safe either, right? And then they just talk about the whole neighborhood's just run down, and it's just basically hell on earth. Many residents believe that the owners let the track rot just to justify a move to Laurel Park. The conditions at Pimlico symbolize how the city has neglected black communities for decades. And they see letting Pimlico and the rest of the neighborhood die as part of a gentrification. There you go. Most people accept that the Preakness might leave there and go to Laurel. They're moving it to Laurel, period, everyone says that lives around there. Pimlico is not a sign of life for this neighborhood. Horse racing is dead. The Preakness does nothing for the community. If it leaves, things will be the same as they always are. Boy, it sounds real positive down there. Wow, what a nightmare, right?
Well, also that group that owns Pimlico that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the article I read in the Washington Post about the horse that died there today is the same group that owns Santa Anita.
Wow. The Canadian group that owns Pimlico is the same people that own Santa Anita, and that's where all the dead horses are. What, they have 24 dead horses out there?
23 in 3 weeks.
And then another one today at Pimlico?
23 in 3 months. Sorry, not 3 weeks, 3 months.
That's crazy. So the residents seem less concerned about losing the Preakness than addressing more immediate problems of crime, poverty, broken schools, lack of retail and jobs, anything, poor housing, shabby services, disinvestment, and endless failed urban renewal plans over the past 30 years. It's going to be there another year, but beyond 2020, the future of the race is unclear. That just does not sound good. Chad in Boise, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Patrell, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm ignorant. I saw the Derby. I saw a horse win. They ran through the muck and the mire. And so now there's a dispute, apparently. So the horse didn't win.
Yeah, like, are you just catching up to this now, Chad?
Well, I'm sorry, Uncle Ferrelli, but I've been out of town.
Okay, so what happened was the race winner was disqualified for, basically tangling its hoof in with another horse's hoofs. They said that he moved over too much and cut off this horse, and the horse did not win the race. Another horse did. So they disqualified the winner, the favorite. Maximum Security got disqualified, and then they gave the second-place horse, Country House, the win, And then everything went, the accolades went to the horse, you know, Country House that did not win. They said it won, but it did not win. It got its ass beat is what happened. The horse that won by five lengths. They disqualified him. And then after the race, they suspended the jockey, and they have appealed. They lost the appeal. Then the owner of the horse sued the Kentucky Racing Commission, and you know, they basically gave him the finger and said, we don't care what you think. And then now it's gone to a federal judge. So they've sued now to have the race flip back to the original winner, Maximum Security. A federal judge will decide it, but it's going to take forever. And at this point, no one cares. And the Kentucky Derby was an utter disaster. So there you go. That sums it up. That's staggering. Well, he's been out of town. He's been busy. But that, you know, I don't even think anyone cares.
Race was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone cares about it. I really don't. I mean, at the end of the day, we might talk about it here because the Preakness is tomorrow.
We talk about it here because we're going to gamble on it either way.
Well, and we talked about it when it happened. I thought, you know, I was vehemently against the decision. I thought it was a terrible decision. And I've never seen a race in pouring rain in the slop where horses didn't, you know, move and didn't, you know, slide out or whatever, get tangled up, bump. You know, it's no different to me than, you know, horse racing in the slop or, you know, I hate to say it, like NASCAR, right? When they're packed up three wide, four wide at these super speedways at like Dega and Daytona. And it's no joke, right? I mean, they're bumping and grinding the whole race. And you're telling me that you're supposed to just drive around and not hit anybody when there's 43 guys out there smashing into each other? And then there's 20 horses in a race on a racetrack and on a literally soup. They were running in Lake Louise. And you're going to tell me there's no room for movement or bumping? I mean, you got to be kidding me. It was a joke. I thought it was a joke. In fact, I've said all along, I felt like the whole thing was some kind of dirty conspiracy or some kind of fix or something was going on. I don't know what the hell it was. I don't trust any of those people at all, zero. You can talk all you want about integrity and all these people are so wonderful. No, they're not. They ruined that race. And it took forever, too. The decision took 20 minutes. Oh, well, they got it right. I don't even think they got it right. And, you know, it was embarrassing. The whole thing was embarrassing. The way they handled it was embarrassing. The way that after the fact that when it happened... Am I wrong? They literally refused to answer questions about it. The steward and all the people at the Derby and Louisville, they didn't want to talk about it. No interviews. No answering questions about it. I mean, it was a joke. That's it. Boom. So I got to tell you, it leaves a real bad taste in your mouth in terms of faith in horse racing, to be honest with you, or, you know. I couldn't believe it because I, you know, I had a friend lose $150,000 on that stupid decision. I got to tell you. And then what made me even sicker was all the people saying, oh, well, I couldn't agree more. It was obvious that they should disqualify the horse. My ass, it was obvious. My ass. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I've seen 50 million horse races in my life, and I've seen the horses bump way worse than that and get away with it a million times. Trucker Wayne in Baltimore.
Uncle Ferrelli, what's up, brother? Hey, look, I grew up in a town like 10 minutes from the track, and I grew up going to the Preaknesses.
Right.
Dude, I used to cop my nickel sacks right around the corner of Park Heights and West Belvedere.
Right.
Oh, my God. The neighborhood is so played out. They just let it go to crap. It's one of the worst areas in the whole world, not just the United States, the whole world. I'm underestimating it. It's a horrible, horrible neighborhood.
I believe you.
Like Columbia, South America.
Should they move the race to Laurel?
No. You see, that's just it. It's going to destroy it if they move it.
Well, why it's already destroyed. It sounds like the neighborhood. What I just read was it's dilapidated and just absolutely a disaster zone. Like a war went through there.
It is, and that's what it is. And it's just become a big party, but, God, I mean, Baltimore not having the Preakness, that's like Baltimore not having the Orioles or Baltimore not having the Colts.
I wouldn't be surprised if all of that happens anymore after what I've seen happen in Baltimore.
They don't have the Colts anymore.
Yeah. So, the Ravens and Orioles, do they survive in Baltimore, do you think?
Yeah.
So the Ravens and Orioles are fine.
But fine? I mean, obviously the Orioles aren't. They suck. I mean that's a whole nother story.
But that, I mean, they are a disaster, and I wonder how long that's gonna last. I mean, literally nobody goes there anymore either, do they? I remember
people weren't going there when they won.
Well, they were an institution my whole life, like the Baltimore Orioles. Do you understand? When I was a kid in 71 and 79, the Pirates played the Orioles in the World Series. And believe me, the Orioles were the deal, right? They were huge. Earl Weaver and everything. Honestly, it was crazy. So nowadays, it's deader than a doornail. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's as bad as it gets in baseball, isn't it? John in Maine.
Sorrell, how you doing?
I'm all right.
I think as long as Baltimore plays the Yankees and the Red Sox 30, however many times they do at home, they'll pull enough fans to keep going in Baltimore.
All right.
But I want.
All right. Well, I hope so. I hope they don't lose them ever. I think it's a cool town, and I think they should definitely worry about, like, don't lose the Orioles and Ravens. If they lose the Preakness, who cares?
One of the nicest stadiums in all of baseball too. So.
I mean, it's been around a while now. Let's not kid ourselves. I was down in Dallas, right? And the park's 19 years old, unless I'm wrong, right, Mafia? Or what wasn't it? It's about 19 or 20 years old, and they're already building a brand new one. Like, are you kidding me? I remember, wasn't Three River Stadium? I remember it was open in the, 70s or whatever. I think 70, probably 71 or something like that. And then maybe 72. I don't know the exact year that it was opened up. All right. So, but then it was open forever before they tore that down and built PNC and Heinz Field. Three River Stadium, yeah. The Ashtray was sitting there forever. They kept a stadium open forever. And then these stadiums, now they play in them. How about the Braves? They played in it for what, 20 years and they built a new one? I mean, yeah. You got to be kidding me. 20 years old is nothing. Are you kidding? What are they building? A paper house? I mean, when you build something brand new that costs $1 billion, shouldn't it last for 45 years? I mean, honestly, didn't they have the Superdome? How old was the, what was the Georgia Dome? It wasn't there for that long, 20 years. And now they already built a new one. What are they going to do, build another one in 20 years? Are they going to have three or four, maybe five, six of them sitting there in the same parking lot? I mean, my God, at some point. How many stadiums can you build? And the people pay for it, right? That's even worse. Everybody, we all pay for it, and these rich people keep getting richer. Screw that. Seriously.
I want to talk about horse racing being a dying sport, Pharrell.
Right.
Up here in Maine, we had a horse track called Scarborough Downs. And in the 80s and 90s, that track was booming, and it just went out of business a few years ago. I think a lot of that has to do with animal activism. I don't know why they let the track go to waste in Baltimore, but Scarborough isn't a dying city. Scarborough is a thriving city up here in Maine. So I think it has to do with more. I mean, even all the off-track betting buildings are going out of business up here. It's just pretty sad.
Well, what's amazing to me, though, and I'm sure you're right, of the situation up there, you know more than me, but I think that the one thing that's interesting to me, I've always been fascinated with, and Mafia has been with me and Carver High in the setting, where we go into the sports book, no matter where we go, Carver High, at the MGM or wherever it is, it doesn't matter what casino we're in. There's always literally the horse book itself, like, most of these sports books have a sports book and a horse book, right? They have like a half of the people there for the track. And it's amazing to me, Carver High, how many casinos we've been in where we've seen, like 1,000 people sitting in the horse book all day long betting on horses all over the world in these racetracks all over the world. It's the craziest thing ever. I mean, these sports books are filled with people betting on horses. It's insane. Like in Vegas, the horse books are packed.
Nonstop.
I mean, they're packed, right? And I even remember when I went to Reno and did the show for the NCAA basketball tournament up there at Sierra, whatever it is. Remember we were up there?
Yeah, they had that whole section, the book for the horse racing.
But it was like its own sports book.
Entity.
But there were thousands of people in there.
Yeah.
It was packed.
The whole time.
Grand Sierra was the name of that place. I'm telling you, these sports books, these horse track books are packed with bettors. They love it. These guys love the horse racing. I don't know. I go in there, they're packed, and then I see at these tracks, they're all going broke and losing money. 855-212-4-CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Bob in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
I certainly appreciate you bringing this topic up about the Derby. They screwed the pooch on that one. Maximum Security should have been the winner. And I wish the owner wouldn't have done what he's done. But if I were him, I'd just go over to the Preakness, whip their tail, go on to Belmont, whip their tail.
But that's not what he's going to do. But that's not what he's going to do. So, like, I mean, that sounds ideal, but he's not going to give him the privilege of letting his horse run in this race after they shafted him. And he's not going to run in the Belmont either. I heard he's, like, running in the Haskell or something like that, and he's not doing it. So it is what it is. I got to tell you, let's just be simple here. I'm surprised we've talked this much about horse racing. This situation in Churchill Downs at Louisville a couple weeks ago, in my opinion, has ruined the horse racing season, right? I mean, the Triple Crown's ruined. If you ask me, they ruined it. So now there's no buzz whatsoever for this race, which no one gives a rat's ass about it to begin with. Now it's even worse, right? Now we're not even talking about the horse race. We're talking about the neighborhood. We're talking about the track itself being a dump and being unsafe. I mean, does that just not smell like a recipe for disaster? What's next? The clubhouse going to burn down? I mean, honestly. Right? Like, we're not even talking about the race. We're talking about the neighborhood and the people. They don't even want it there anymore. Or they do, but they want them to spend $400 million. It's not happening. No one's going to spend $400 million. They spent $50 million on Laurel and, like, nothing on Pimlico and fixing it up. It is what it is. So all I know is I think the horse racing, you know, the Triple Crown itself has been ruined. I think they can still salvage the Breeders' Cup in November, right? Isn't that what it is? So the Breeders' Cup's, in my opinion, this is just me. I think the Breeders' Cup's better than the Triple Crown to begin with. That's just me. You know, I like the Breeders' Cup day better when every race is worth millions and it's all day long and every race matters. These races, only one race matters on the whole ticket. You know, they all act like it matters, these other races, and they don't. It matters for junkies that love betting on every race, right, that can't get enough of it. They'll bet on every race the whole day, right? But most people, the average layman horse racing fan, which is few and far between, like 34 seals say, all right, when's the race? It's at 6 o'clock, whatever it is. And she'll watch that two-minute race, and that's it for the whole year. You know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you she has no clue that tomorrow's the Preakness. Who does? Does anyone really know that that's tomorrow unless you're some gigantic sports fan and you follow television and you know everything going on in the sports world? The average person doesn't even know it's happening. They don't. They're like, well, Mother's Day was last week. When's Father's Day? People don't even know that it's happening.
Except when the Breeder Cup is happening this year, there's going to be a lot of talk about things other than the racing because this year it's at Santa Anita.
Well, they've had it at Santa Anita 50 times, but by then there'll be about 400 dead horses.
Look, we know this is a dying sport. We've talked about this, and it's not going to die because there's so much money bet on it, it's not. But what I mean in terms of general public interest, we talked about this before the Derby. There wasn't even as much juice in the Derby this year. And why? Because we have now recently, over the past couple years, gotten to see a couple of Triple Crowns, which you hadn't seen in 30 years. So that was a big deal. But now people have seen a couple, and the interest wanes a little bit.
And they're good with it.
And here's the biggest problem this year. This year, you don't even have, at least every year most of the time, going into the Preakness, you have the horse that won the Derby, and right, you're going, let's see if they can win another one, and we can have a good Belmont.
Another week.
But now, you don't even have that. You don't even have the horse that won the Derby. So you just have it's just a horse race.
The first four horses aren't in it.
Right. So this is just another horse race tomorrow. It doesn't have the juice of a Derby winner. It doesn't have any of that stuff. So that's why.
That's it. So Kevin Durant's out for the rest of the series, and they're playing again tomorrow night, this time at the Moda in Rip City.
See, normally I wouldn't be too concerned about this because I've told you a bunch. I don't think they need him to beat Portland anyway.
Right.
They've shown that in the first two games.
Right.
They don't need Kevin Durant to beat Portland. I think they will need him to beat Milwaukee. And him sitting up there last night saying that it's, you know, maybe a little not as good as they originally thought, or whatever the word that Kerr said after the game. I forget what his quote was specifically.
It's more serious than
more serious than we thought. That gives me a little worry that we're going to check it again next week. What happens next week when you don't? It's no good again. Like, when is it going to get shutdown time is what I'm saying here. And if that happens.
Yeah, because if he just pulled it, I think he would play in a week. And if he tore it, he's not playing at all.
Now, they could be playing games here and know that they don't need him here because they've beaten him the first two games. They're probably figuring, we'll see what we do out in Portland. Even if we get one of the two, we're going to go home up 3-1. I don't think they think they're going to go into Portland and lose both games.
But
I don't think
do you think there's any chance that could happen?
I personally don't. I think they're going to win at least a game in Portland.
Mafia, do you think the Warriors win a game in Portland?
Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they win both.
Jay, do you think the Blazers can win both games?
Absolutely not.
No.
I don't see the Warriors losing at all to the Blazers. Just don't.
Not even once?
No, I don't. They're better without Durant.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I'm not going to go that far.
You cannot take 30 points off the board and tell me you're better. This is just the original band. They got the original band, but the Splash Brothers are back.
But this is the original band, but with not as good a bench because
right,
they obviously pay Durant so much. Right, the bench isn't as strong as it was before Durant when
right,
they had those guys and they had some better pieces coming right off. They don't have that now. Now those guys got it done against the Rockets, but I don't think that this is going to sustain if they don't have Durant for the finals.
Even when they play poorly, they win. They shouldn't have won last night. They didn't deserve to win that game, and they still won.
And they still won. Steph and Clay against Dame and CJ. Steph and Clay, 123 points, 41 of 91 from the floor, 20 of 46 from three, 20 dimes, 11 turnovers. Dame and McCollum, 81 points, 26 of 70, 11 of 29 from downtown, 22 dimes and 16 turnovers. And you going to ask again who's better, Curry and Thompson or Dame and McCollum? I mean, the verdict's already in.
And not only that, we've seen how much they affect the defense. I mean, they'll play Dame and McCollum one-on-one. We saw Iguodala, just him versus Lillard. That was it, and that was a strip that ended the game. Every time Steph and Clay get the ball, they're trying to double them, you know, around these screens. They're leaving guys wide open because they're so worried about them shooting that you're getting two or three guys with their eyes on them and letting Green and Looney and Iguodala just
run
walk
wild
down the lane.
Just run wild. So the most improved player finalists are in D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell, Siakam, and De'Aaron Fox. And then your MVP finalists are Greek Freak, Harden, and PG, Paul George. Who do you like in those races? And the Lakers will not hire a replacement for Magic.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So who do you think is the most improved player? And, I mean, because it's, you know, and the MVP, they got the finalists out. So D'Lo, I thought was really good. But the guy that I think, you know, for me, that has, you know, taken his game to a whole new level, because we've seen this from D'Lo before, that he has talent, right? He just screwed everything up in L.A. With his teammates. But, I'm not that shocked that he played well for the Nets. He's got all kinds of talent. The guy that I thought went from nothing to something was Siakam, right? Like, this guy became a stud in Toronto. He became a huge force on that team. And I really don't think anybody had ever really heard of him before or, you know, certainly never got any national attention as some kind of great player, right? But I thought this year he really – and I love De'Aaron Fox's game out in Sacramento, but you can't tell me that Siakam wasn't the most, improved player. I mean, he really, went from nothing to, huge this year like nobody's business. And then who do you give it to? Greek Freak or Harden or Paul George, the MVP? What do you think, Carver High? Do you have any opinion on who might be the MVP?
They should give it to Greek Freak.
Because he's carried the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely the most valuable player in the league this year. Has to be. He won the most games, on and on and on.
What do you think of the guy, Tyreke Evans? Did you hear?
So he's not going to be playing basketball in the NBA.
2 years.
Anytime soon. He can reapply in 2 years.
Right, but did you see the part of the story that he's had zero previous public drug violations in his 10-year career? He was the rookie of the year in 2010. And, I mean, the bottom line is, you remember O.J. Mayo? He was suspended for violating the drug program back in July of 2016. Hasn't played in the NBA since. Tyreke Evans is going down that same path. He was playing with the Pacers this year, and now he's done for 2 years. Is that crazy or what? Does it seem weird? He's never had a drug bust or anything, but then he gets busted and he's out 2 years?
I'm not exactly sure how the NBA works with this stuff. I think they keep it behind closed doors the first couple that you get, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Well, there you go. And there's not going to be a replacement for Magic Johnson with the Lakers. They've just given all the power to Rob Pelinka. He'll continue in his role, reporting directly to ownership, which is Genie. And Pelinka had previously reported to Magic. Genie Buss issued a statement saying the team would work in a measured and methodical fashion to make the right moves for the future of our organization. She considered several options after Johnson's departure, including replacing him. She's decided to, Pelinka is the top decision maker now. My role as the GM right now is the same as it was when we selected Lonzo Ball with the second pick, which is our last high pick. My role hasn't changed since then. And then, of course, Kurt Rambis will remain as a special advisor. Rambis and his wife have a ton of power now with Genie Buss and get away with whatever they want to do. Pelicans owner Gail Benson says it's completely false. Remember, there was a story that she'd refused to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. And per the Over My Dead Body reports out there regarding Gail Benson, the Lakers, and Davis, she laughed at the report, called it totally absurd and completely untrue, according to reports. I think Rachel Nichols.
So somebody
is reporting,
just made it up? They made up that she said that? They just made it up.
Just
right?
Made it up.
That quote, they made it up. She didn't say it.
There's three scenarios it says here. The Lakers made the best offer. Benson accepts it. And the Lakers made the best offer. She rejects it. And the Lakers don't make the best offer. But I think they're going to make an offer for Davis, don't you think? At some point or another, that's automatic.
Of course they're going to.
Their whole offseason pretty much predicated on trying to get Anthony Davis. I know that number four pick to them means they have better value. It doesn't mean they're going to get somebody that they can pair LeBron in a couple of years he could take over. No, it means that they're going to use that with those young players to try to get LeBron someone to win now because they only have a couple of years left.
So on this date in 1983, Carver High, the New York Islanders cemented their place among the NHL's greatest teams ever by winning their fourth consecutive Stanley Cup. On this night, this very night, in 1983, I was a freshman in college, and I was watching the Islanders win their fourth consecutive Stanley Cup. Carver High, in honor of this anniversary of their fourth straight Stanley Cup, do you have any celebratory words for the organization?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, but the glory was four straight.
It was, and some would say you won't see it again, especially in the NHL.
I don't think you'll see it again.
Four straight is very tough to do.
Penguins tried to win three straight. They couldn't do it.
I mean, not only that, they won, 19 series in a row because they made it to the final then the year after that when they lost to Edmonton. So they won 19 series in a row.
So they went for five in a row.
They were going for five, yeah, and they lost to the Oilers.
That's right. Also on this day in 1998, our friend Bubba Wells, David Wells, threw a perfect game with what he said was a huge hangover.
Yeah, Boomer has said that a few times in the past.
50,000 showed up for the game. Kids 14 and under got a Beanie Baby, which would resell for more than $100. Did you put a Beanie Baby? You did put a Beanie Baby in there.
I remember the day well.
Beanie Baby Day. May 17th of 1998. It was a Sunday. And you could get a field box seat for $45 at Yankee Stadium that day against the Minnesota Twins, who I'm watching right now play the Seattle Mariners.
So you brought up the Islanders winning the four in a row before. So this from one of the guys at Sportsnet, Chris Johnson, who does a good job. He tweeted this out before. Boston's going to have 11 days off now leading into the final. The longest stretch previously of a team going into the Cup final was 9 days. Edmonton in 06, Ottawa in 07. Both of those teams lost in the Cup final. And he said, generally, recently, rest has not been good before the Stanley Cup final. He says, 10 of the last 13 champs were the team that came in with the shorter turnaround. 10 of the last 13.
So 10 of the last 13 that had fewer days off.
Shorter amount of rest, yes, won the Cup.
Are you willing to sit here and say that that's going to happen again with the team that you've been watching in the East kick everyone's ass?
They have been really good. Really good. It's going to be a long time off. You would think it has to
hurt them
in game one, at least, right?
You would think.
They're going to be at home.
So, it'll be at home in Boston.
They have home ice.
They got home ice.
They have home ice.
I don't know, man. They play so great in that building.
They've been excellent.
And they've been just playing great. I don't know. I don't see. Do you really lose it all? You just lose it. It's gone. That's it. You've won seven in a row. You kick everyone's ass, and then all of a sudden you're off for 11 days. So you lose it. The magic touch.
Four. What's it been so far in the East? Three teams have won by a sweep, and then they've lost the next round.
Look at the Buccos racking up the runs out in San Diego over here. Polanco scores 5-1 Bucks in the ninth on the Padres wearing their old Browns. The Friars. Gotta love those Buccos playing a little West Coast ball, son. Check out. So Boston in the championships. It's unbelievable. Celtics in 2010. Bruins in 2011. Patriots in 2012. 2013 Red Sox and Bruins in the championship. 2015 Patriots, 2017 Patriots, 2018 Red Sox Patriots, 2019 Bruins and Patriots. That is unbelievable when you think about it, right? Is that not unbelievable? Just in this decade, 11 of them, 11 finals in this decade alone. Is that crazy? I mean, honestly. Can you imagine if you're like some kid growing up in Boston and all this is what you've seen? Your whole life, all you've seen is winning. All you've seen is championships.
What a life.
And being in the finals in every sport. How crazy is that?
Must be nice.
Maybe we should move there. It's all they do is win. Good luck for everyone that lives there. You just have just terrific luck. Fantastic karma. Even, like, ugly chicks suddenly appear to be beautiful when you live in Boston. The weather, none of it is a factor. Snow, cold, wind, ice, heat, rainstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis. And yet, all of the teams in Boston continue to make it to championships, to the finals. This isn't saying they win them all. This is just in the championship. Playing for a championship. That's crazy, right? I mean, it really is. It's insane. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Memphis, Penny Hardaway doing a job down there. Can you even believe it?
Like the top recruiting class in the country or something like that?
He's been there 1 year. And he's already got the number one class in college basketball, bar none. And they secured a commitment from five-star Precious Chuiwa. He's now got, I heard today, the number one class in the country. And the only team next season with two projected top 10 picks in the 2020 draft in the NBA.
And everything's on the up and up, right?
I hope not. I really do. I like Penny, and I think that, you know, I always remember Memphis basketball being really good, you know, in college basketball. I think it's good for everybody's health if Memphis Tigers basketball is good. Seriously. Tyrone Woodley has been forced to withdraw from his June 29th bout against Robbie Lawler due to an injury. And they're looking for a replacement for that fight. And then I saw earlier tonight, Mafia, I actually saw interest in that fight. I think it was this guy. What's his name? What is his name? Smith? Is that, could that be possible? Who's the guy that wants to fight him? There it is. Mike Perry, not Smith. Mike Perry wants to fight Robbie Lawler. Is that a good fight? I don't even know who that is.
It'll be a violent one, that's for sure.
Yeah, he guarantees there there would be blood. There will be blood. That was another good movie.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.